Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples and eaten breakfast with them, he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hand, and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. When he had said this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. These last 2 days of the Easter season, as we prepare for Pentecost, the Church has us ponder Jesus' last two times talking today in the breakfast at the Sea of Galilee, which revisits what we discussed 6 weeks ago here at that breakfast on Friday in the Easter octave. But then tomorrow we'll have his valedictory address according to St. Mark, what he said at the Ascension. We prayed in the Gospel verse that the Holy Spirit would remind us of everything that Jesus taught us. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us not just hear these words, but really live what Jesus is saying, because both go together. The Great Commission we will hear about tomorrow, St. Luke's version, to go and teach all nations, is actually connected here with this trifold commission of love. You go to St. Peter's Basilica, where I was last week, and you go to the altar of the chair in the very back of the basilica. You've got the Holy Spirit overshadowing that bronze chair, symbolic of Peter's teaching authority, the Church's teaching authority. But on the back of that chair in a bas-relief is the image of today's Gospel. Peter not just hearing Jesus' words to feed his sheep and feed his lambs and tend or protect his sheep, but actually doing it. That Peter, as he teaches, the Church, as she teaches, is fulfilling one of the aspects of the nourishment and the protection of all those Christ has entrusted to our Petrine and Maternally Marian care. So the Holy Spirit wants to help us not just know these words, but live these words, so that we go and we teach all nations precisely about how valuable they are to God, by the way we love them, by the way we care for them, by the way we protect them. Holy Spirit obviously wants to help us to do that. Holy Spirit is that personified love between the Father and the Son. He wants to bring us into that love of God. When we say, "Come, Holy Spirit," we're asking Him to come and burn away every other dross so that we can teach with tongues of fire, a tongue of fire that penetrates even what our heart says. There's a second drama here, which I can't get to this Gospel without focusing on the drama, and I ask the patience for the sisters who have heard of this at least four times, but some of the times you're just not here, sisters, every Friday. So I just don't know who's here or who's not at any given, but it's worth hearing a million times over. And it's worth studying Greek for, just to be able to understand this passage, because the translations don't make sense. The real drama's lost. Simon, son of John, do you love me with agape? Lord, you know that I love you with philia. Simon, son of John, do you love me with this agape, totally self-sacrificial type of love he has the second time? Lord, you know that I love you as a friend. Peter wouldn't commit to loving the Lord to the point of dying for him, because he had said that before, and he had betrayed not only the Lord, but himself. So he wasn't going to commit to that type of sacrifice. Even after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter was still disconsolate, because he thought he was capable of dying for the one who would die for him. And he recognized that he was capable of apostatizing three times to stay warm by a fire. That's why Jesus, in the third request, lowered the expectation. Simon, son of John, do you love me with philia? And that's when Peter was really saddened, because he had recognized what the Lord was doing, and he still had those high aspirations. But the Lord had met him in his crestfallen state. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you as a friend, Peter replied. But Jesus wasn't going to leave him there, just like he never leaves us, wallowing over our sinful capacity. He wants to lift us up by mercy, make us truly capable of a call. So he said to Simon, even though you won't say it, that you'll love me with agape, you will. So when you were younger, you used to dress yourselves. When you're older and here, Greek comes in again. Another will stretch out your arms, a Greek idiom for crucifixion, and drag you to a place where you do not want to go. Signifying, as St. John comments, the way Peter would glorify God. Crucified upside down, outside the, well, within the circus of Caligula Nero, October 1364. And Jesus summarized the whole thing by just saying, follow me, Peter. Just like I said to you in Caesarea Philippi when you were trying to lead me and I told you to get behind me so that you could follow me. Follow me even in this. Follow me in love. Follow me in giving of your life for God and for others. This will be the way most that you'll feed my lambs and sheep and protect them. Jesus, at the end of the Easter season, says to each of us, sister, father, do you love me? Do you love me more than all the rest? Do you love me with a total self-sacrificial type of love? We might shirk from it because we know our failures and say, Lord, I know that you want to be my friend because you've revealed to me everything you've heard from the Father. I can certainly meet you at that level, but I might be hesitant for the greater. Jesus wants to strengthen us for that greater love. And he gives us two extraordinary means. The first is the gift of the Holy Spirit, with all his gifts, with all his fruit, so that we might experience first God's love for us, so that together with that love, we might love others. Second is the Holy Eucharist, in which we receive Jesus' total self-giving and are challenged to do this in his memory, to make our life a commentary on the words of consecration, to give our body, our blood, our sweat, our tears, our time, out of love for him and for others. St. Paul in today's first reading was on trial. Trial for loving by this standard. He had written about it. He had written that nothing made sense without it. That even if he handed over his body to the torturers but didn't do it with love, he would be just a noisy gong. That he had faith to move mountains. And he did. Even raising from the dead little Eutyches, who had fallen asleep during his homily and fallen from a windowsill. As I like to say, I don't have that power, so pay attention. But he had the power to raise even the dead. But if he did that but didn't have love, he would be nothing. And then he described what love was really like. It's a self-description of Jesus and is meant to be a self-description of us. Jesus, loving, was patient, he was kind, he was never arrogant or rude. He bore all things, believed all things, hoped all things. His agape never failed. And Jesus here today says to each of us, risen from the dead, follow me in loving like this, giving us himself and giving us the Holy Spirit, so that like Peter, despite our frailty, we can. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.